Welcome back, Dynasty lovers, to another episode of the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Adrian, with my co-host,
Scott Martin.
Okay, back for another episode here, and we get to finally break down these rookies. I've been waiting for this for months and months and months. I know got a little sidetracked here with moving, technical issues, hard drive malfunctions, and all that fun electronic BS, but now we get to talk rookies, and we're going to start with the quarterbacks. So the quarterbacks are one of those difficult positions to actually break down. You really need to almost know the offense of each team, know the play calling of each team, know what these guys are supposed to process. It makes it very, very difficult. And you have people that get paid millions of dollars to draft these guys that are failing on a year in and year out basis. John Elway. but it's one of those things that we are going to make a delve into this. And I think as far as our scouting last year, I think we made a pretty good assessment overall as far as Joe Burrow, but he's probably the top quarterback we ever scouted then. And then we wanted to love Justin Herbert. I know we've said this multiple times.
Yep.
But he didn't show as much as he showed in the film going into the NFL season here. And but hopefully you can tease out some of these guys, tease out the playmakers. There's definitely four guys that I would feel comfortable drafting in any league, super flex, standard league, any and all. But and then you have a few other guys that raise the possibilities, raise your intrigue then, and we'll be breaking down all of them then. So I think the first guy we're going to start with is Ian Book here. Ian Book out of Notre Dame. So he is a 6 foot, 206-pound senior. In his senior year, he threw for 15 touchdowns, three interceptions, 2,830 yards. And actually, in his junior year, he threw for over 3,000 yards, 34 touchdowns, and six interceptions. So, Scotty, I'll let you lead it off with the Ian Book, the Golden Domer here. What are your thoughts on this young gentleman?
So, the first few things that really stuck out to me was this guy. He was a winner. Like they won almost every game he played. I didn't realize his winning record was so good. I just thought Notre Dame had been an average team over the last few years, but I was dead wrong. I think from a leadership standpoint, he impressed me a little bit. He is the perfect guy to start your quarterback scouting with because he is kind of average across the board at a lot of things. So he's a good baseline for everybody.
Yeah, I think I agree with you as far as the leadership then. He's a guy that the offense really relied on him. The running game wasn't always there, but he got it done in the passing categories. He got it done in the rushing categories. So a guy that was surprisingly athletic, and I think that's probably his biggest strength is his rushing ability then. I have him as a very capable runner then. And he's a guy that actually protects the ball very well then too. So he's not a guy that's going to be afraid to check it down. He's a very smart player then. He does sort of lose points then and lose sort of his more luster then when you look at sort of his tangibles then. Those things being arm strength, his accuracy then. His probably arm strength is just average out there. I don't know if you saw anything different from that.
So, yeah, I think his arm talent is kind of what's holding him back. He's very, very average there. I thought from a throwing mechanics, footwork standpoint, his upper body, it looks good. He has a good compact throw. But his lower body, he doesn't set his feet very well. He's throwing off his back foot. And that's what leads to his accuracy problems. And so I thought his throwing mechanics were just average.
Yeah, I agree with the footwork. I put here he has happy feet then. He's a guy that, because of his rushing ability, he can rely on that at times then. He puts an advantage by having decent pocket movement. He's able to avoid rushers, but he's pretty quick to run then too. And like I said, the biggest strength being that rushing ability. And I almost have him being a guy that would be better at fantasy football if he ever gets a chance then. And I'm not saying he's going to be drafted to be a starting quarterback here. He's most likely to be a backup. But he's a guy that, if given a chance, he could do something in fantasy based on his rushing ability, sort of like a Jalen Hurts type player. But he's not going to be one of these top-level guys just because of his limitations as far as his the arm strength and accuracy.
Yeah, you talk about the rushing ability. So I try to, on every prospect, guess what their 40 is going to be. And I've got him pegged at a 4.85. I think he is a poor man's Daniel Jones. I think he can escape and he can buy a little bit of time, but you know, he's got the body to be able to score like up close, so he's going to get you some touchdowns. But I don't see he's that guy that's going to break any big runs or anything over 10, 15 yards. You mentioned about the arm talent. So the arm accuracy, his deep throws are like punts. I almost lost it during one of the games when one of the announcers said, "Oh, and here comes Ian Book throwing a punt." And I'm like, that's exactly how his deep ball always is. It's just straight up and let his playmakers go get it. Pretty much just his tight end. The accuracy was a little below average.
Time out. Speaking of that tight end, he's a guy I'm very interested in going.
Oh, absolutely.
Michael Meyer. Yep. I love what I saw from him. Yep. He's going to be an absolute stud here. He's only a freshman, and he's 6'5", 240. Had 42 catches for 450 yards then. And two touchdowns, man! I can't wait to.
I wrote his name down. I was like, "Is he in this year's class?" And I just didn't scout him. I was like, "He's a freshman? Are you kidding me?"
he looks like he could play in the NFL right now. He looks awesome. So,
yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, the arm strength. He's definitely not throwing the deep ball, as I said, but he can definitely throw that outside post. He really can't throw the ball down the field or in the middle of the field. Definitely not across the field. So his arm strength for me was very average.
Yeah. And then the other thing that sort of disappointed me was his anticipation then too. He does go through his progressions, but he can miss open guys. But as far as anticipation, he really only throws to the open receiver. And if that receiver's not open, then he sort of tucks and run, which that's not going to cut it in the NFL. We sort of saw that with the problems with, Tua in his rookie campaign. He was so used to throwing to wide open receivers, and it caused a lot of issues. So as far as, I don't know if we want to talk about our final scoring here yet, but I have Ian Book at the score I have for him for our film score, I have him at a 62 then. And the more I talk about him, I almost see him as a sort of poor man's Jalen Hurts. So as far as his 40, I think he's probably going to fall more along the lines of that 4.6 kind of speed, then maybe be even like a Trace McSorley as far as that goes, a guy that's going to be more of a rush first. And if he goes to a system, say like similar to the Baltimore Ravens, or maybe he's a backup for out in Arizona for Kyler Murray, he could have some success there. But I see him as a backup going forward here, and I don't see him being at least an immediate starter. But he has some tools. As far as this short intermediate passing game, and he could develop into something in the future, but I'm not going out there actively drafting Ian Book.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he runs, faster than a 4.8. His, you mentioned about offenses and how you really got to know what's sort of going on with Notre Dame's offense. It's full of crosses and screens, and that's most of what he threw. So you got to take that into account whenever you're looking at, stats overall and that sort of thing. But, I mean, I thought he, you mentioned his anticipation. I thought it was pretty average. I thought that he, at times, he made every throw look too hard. So occasionally you'd see like a good placement on like an outside post to a tight end. But other times, if he wasn't throwing the seam route, which Notre Dame tight ends love, and he wasn't throwing a screen or a cross, like he just couldn't get it down the field. So I thought his decision making, his ball security was an attribute. He understands what his limitations are, and he protects the ball pretty well. So he doesn't take a lot of chances down the field, which kind of is unfortunate. But he's safe. Yeah, and I'm pretty close there with you on Book I got him at a 63.
Yep, so pretty comparable there. So let's move on to our next guy here, Shane Buscelli out of SMU then. So this is a guy that initially started in Texas, ultimately transferred to SMU when he got beat out by Sam Ellinger then, who's also in this class. But just as far as his last couple years, so almost threw for 4,000 yards in 2019. In 2020, he had just over 3,000 yards, 34 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in 2019, and 23 touchdowns to 6 interceptions in 2020 then. So this is a guy that has below average size then. He's 6'1", 207, comparable to Ian Book then. He's a guy that they run this sort of a run-and-shoot offense down there, sort of a lot of the pistol. And he's a guy that put up very good numbers then in college. So what are your thoughts on him as far as what you saw in the film?
I started watching the film. You know, I watch the games in order of the season. So I kind of get the whole flow of the how everything's going. And when I started watching the Texas State film, I was like, oh my gosh, is this guy this good? I really like this guy. And the farther the year went along, the more I started to say, I'm going to have to start taking some points away here. And it felt like I don't know that he regressed. It's just that more things started showing up that were limitations in his ability. So I thought overall he was a guy who had a lot of arm talent, but there's a lot of other things that make you good at being the quarterback that he didn't have.
Yeah, he has. I found he had pretty good accuracy. I put it as above average. There was a lot of drops by this SMU team then, and definitely. But then when you look at his arm strength, he had good zip on the short throws, but somewhat just slightly above average on his deeper throws, which I think is going to definitely hurt him in the professional game. Then, as far as his vision, I the offense was pretty much based on his quick reads, and he was very good at getting the ball out quickly. But then after that, it was like very limited progression. So that does concern me. And the anticipation, if it wasn't a quick read, the anticipation was not there. And that hurts things going forward then too. He's a guy that has sort of average rushing ability, but he has good pocket mobility, but he doesn't really have very good awareness in the pocket then, which hurts him then too. He's a guy that he seemed a lot better early on in the season or against these lower competition teams. But when you start playing the higher competition, things sort of went south there pretty quickly then. So it definitely soured my taste the more film I watched with Buscelli.
Yeah. So his throwing mechanics are kind of everywhere. He has this little bit of a windup, so that hurts a little bit. But he makes a lot of off-balance throws, which, I mean, Patrick Mahomes does it pretty well, but you don't really want that unless you're super accurate with the football. So
he was doing some sidearm Patrick Mahomes three-quarter delivery, and I think that was in one of the first few games, and then things sort of settled down after that.
Yeah, he can move a little bit in the pocket, but he's not very nimble. And you were talking about rushing ability. I got him pegged at like a 5'1". He's just not he's not a decisive runner. And I don't understand why he doesn't run more. That was what I was thinking like earlier on in the season. And then I actually saw him try to break a few runs and I was like, yep, he's got 0 to 10 quickness. And from 10 yards out, he's got nothing.
Yeah, he's what we call an average rushing ability. Yep. Not a statue, but definitely average then.
But yeah, the arm talent, I thought he had, you know, we're grading on 1 to 10, and I gave him an 8. I thought his accuracy and his arm strength were kind of exciting at times. I thought he had plus upside both spots there. But
yeah, I saw like the short routes, I saw the arm strength. But the longer, the deeper routes were tough. I gave him a 6 as far as strength, 7 as far as accuracy. So better in that category.
Yeah, the thing that hurt him for me is the decision making. He takes so many chances. He trusts that arm talent way too much. And Like, he had 6 picks in the few games that they played last year, and there was a lot that should have went the other way. So I felt like his decision making is a little questionable. He can kind of throw guys open a little bit occasionally, but not great. Very, kind of average there. And sometimes he puts the ball in like a good spot, like on those deep balls. He had a few nice deep balls, but it was a little above average. But, it comes down to this guy was at Texas, and you got a guy at Texas with arm talent, good accuracy, and definitely has a pretty good, gun. And they let him go. In all these games that he was out throwing for 400 yards or whatever, they almost lost. So, it wasn't like he was putting points up on the board. So I felt like he's playing against Atlantic 10 competition, and you're not seeing all these big awards, and you're not seeing all this. And so he's just an average leader for me too. So he's my total score for him was a 64. I like him better than Book, but not by much.
Yeah, I don't like him better than Book. I have him at a 59. Actual comp for him, I think this player's better than him, but sort of a similar package set than probably the player's a better leader, and that's Gardner Minshew then. That's my comp for Buscelli then. But
I like that.
One other thing before we move on, I want to mention, did you see Reggie Roberson? Did you see that guy run?
Who is this?
The wideout for SMU.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I think he was a...
Did he get hurt?
Senior this
he
year, but he's coming, hurt? I think he's coming back because he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
But in the first few games, I think that was another thing that hurt Buscelli was Roberson going down. Mm-hmm. But that guy had speed, and I'm going to be keeping my eye on him next year when he comes out in the draft. Then he had some definite skills. Then I think injuries have been hurting him in college, but he's definite skills. So keep an eye on. That's one of the things I love doing in these scouting things is sort of picking up guys under the radar that you necessarily wouldn't always see if you're just going by other parameters or other lists then.
Yeah, so I know exactly who you're talking about now. I just didn't remember the name. Yeah, that guy definitely stood out. And I remember that game that he hurt his knee. It was you could see how the whole offense sort of swung that game. But I really liked his ball skills, and he had really good top end speed, and he had great separation. He's going to be
like a horse runner out there.
Yep. I liked him a lot.
He had the same, he's not the same size, and no one's the same size as DK Metcalf, but he ran like DK Metcalf.
Yep.
It was awesome. But, hopefully he has a good second senior season in 2021 here, but, let's move on to our next player here. So we start off with the former Texas quarterback. Now we're going to the guy that replaced him, Sam Ellinger. So he is 6'3", 225 pounds then. He was a four-year starter at Texas then, so pretty impressive then. And in 2019, threw for 3,600 yards, 32 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and then 2020 had about almost 2,600 yards for 26 touchdowns and 5 interceptions then. I know I actually came away pretty impressed, though. I actually liked him a lot more than I was expecting to. But I'll let you take the first crack at him, and then I'll jump in.
Yeah, so from a throwing mechanic standpoint, he holds the ball at his waist a lot, and that hurts him quite a bit. And so I feel like there's the first game, I think the game film we had, it just wasn't, the video quality wasn't that good, but he looked like he was standing on like twinkle toes. I just kept calling him twinkle toes, but his footwork is just, he doesn't use his legs. He throws with his upper body. So I feel like he that's something that could be taught and could be developed, but I knocked him on his throw mechanics.
I thought his throwing motion was good, but there are some things he can clean up, definitely.
Yeah, he looks like that Kyler Murray sort of baseball thrower. I think he's probably got that in his background. Yeah, so the things that I liked about him. I thought his pocket presence was pretty darn good. He would, you know, routinely make people miss. And it really, he always stood tall in the pocket and delivered the football. And it's not like Texas has the best offensive line, but he was a very, you know, sound guy that would just, even though he has plus, he's a plus runner and can make some moves in space and pick up first down and get a few, you know, plus runs. He didn't tuck it as often as I expected. He stood in the pocket and threw the football. So I like that about him.
Yeah, I loved his pocket presence, his pocket awareness then. He was great at recognizing the rush coming, which guys were where the protection was breaking down. And he probably had some of the best footwork as far as stepping up into the pocket and letting those guys pass, as opposed to you see other guys that just sort of keep falling back, throw off their back foot, or get tackled for a huge loss then. So he was very good at that. As far as his rushing ability, I know you're touching on that. I came away very impressed. I'm looking for guys in fantasy nowadays that have rushing ability. If you get a guy that has rushing ability and gets you those extra points, gets you those rushing touchdowns, gets that 300, 400 yards extra on the season as opposed to one of those statues out there, that can win you some weeks, can win you titles then too. So you always want a guy that has mobility and movement now. And I think in the one game against Oklahoma, he had like 4 rushing touchdowns,
yep.
Which is just ridiculous then. And his decision-making was very, very good. I saw he knew when to run. He knew when to throw it away. One of the things about the college game is very few of these quarterbacks actually go through all their progressions. A lot of times you see them just looking at one guy, and if that one guy's not there, they either tuck and run it or they throw to a check down. Other guys, you just see them scanning just one side of the field and never look back to the other side of the field. But Ellinger, he was calm in the pocket. He stepped up in the pocket, avoided the rush, and he was scanning the whole fields. There is times that he'd lock onto certain guys, but you still saw him go through the progressions. That's one of the things that I think is going to be very important for the NFL quarterbacks and things I want to see then too, because there's guys are not always open in the NFL. You can't just look at one guy. And he actually had some anticipation. He threw guys open then. He threw at times behind guys to avoid them from getting big hits then from guy when they were going over the middle then too. So he had decent ball placement then too. He protects his wide receivers. So I came away pretty impressed and a lot higher score than I thought I was going to get on Sam Ellinger here. I gave him a 70 as far as a score. As far as my comp for him, I have him as sort of like that throwing-wise. Doesn't have the biggest arm. He has above average accuracy then. But he's probably a more athletic Jake Fromm then. I think he's a guy that possibly could challenge for a starting job in the future. I don't think he's necessarily going to be drafted to be a starter by any means, just based on his draft capital. But he's a guy that I could see transitioning into a starting role after a couple years if there's an opening on his team.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't as impressed as you were. I thought the throwing mechanics, like I mentioned, were holding him back. I like the pocket presence. I thought the arm talent was average, very average arm strength, very average arm accuracy. I feel like this offense is just inflated with hitches and screens, and he gets it out on, you know, and on these crosses too, but I don't really see him being that down the field thrower. So his arm strength, when he tried to throw it down the field, you know, mixed with some of those mechanical issues, it really wasn't the best. And I thought that, you know, despite his lack of arm talent, he does protect the football pretty good. He had a couple tough games early on, but overall he protected the football pretty good. But, you know, you were talking about his vision and anticipation. I saw a guy that looked at 2 to 3 reads every play, and those were because they were built in the offense. It was screen, cross, or check down. And that was most of the throws that he made. So he was making...
That's 2 more than most quarterbacks make
I felt like that was built in the offense. It was a quick check to see, you know, if you have this cross, that cross. And so those are easy throws that any quarterback should be able to make.
Yeah.
So...
And- just to build on that, and that's the thing we don't know about these offenses. We don't know if they're built in like that. We don't know if they purposely look have them look one way to look these guys off then too. Ultimately, the primary read is this secondary guy then too. So it's tough to fully break down these offenses, but at least that's what I saw. But I can see your point as well.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to build an offense to protect a quarterback's, you know, sort of hide some of his flaws, you're going to run play action bootlegs, or you're going to run an offense like this, where you run a lot of screens, but you run crosses, and you make your quarterback have those 2-3 reads where he's reading, you're getting that quick slant, or you're getting that guy that's coming all the way across the middle. So I feel like that helps a quarterback. But overall, I came away with a 64. I didn't hate him, but I didn't think he was somebody that I would consider drafting.
Yeah, I like understandable, but yeah, he's one of the guys that I have him all alone in my tier three as far as these quarterbacks go. He is my fifth quarterback on the list as far as guys that I like in fantasy football. Obviously, it could change in real football, and that's one of the biggest things that's the difference here. Jalen Hurts may be a great fantasy quarterback, but he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback in the long run.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, you know, this is their film score. So the other part that's going to really change the order and how much we like a lot of these guys are when we start to, you know, break down our non-film score, too, where we look at all the measurables, how they did at their pro day / combine / whatever they're calling it these days. And, you know, we look at their production, their landing spot, and kind of their, you know, off the field stuff, injury history. All that's going to help tease a lot of these guys out. But I like looking at the film first.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Going forward with our non-film score, it's going to bump a lot of guys up, could bump guys down. You look at production, you look at draft capital, you look at off the field stuff, injury history. And if some NFL team, say, really likes Mac Jones, you could get a significant bump just based on if he gets picked in the first round, say by the Patriots then. So that does change a lot of things, but these are strictly our film score at this point in time then. Now let's move on to a guy that we both like a lot here, and that's Justin Fields out of Ohio State then. So he's a guy that initially, well, it just pains me to say this, he initially was committed to Penn State and decided to back out, went to his hometown team of Georgia then, and then ultimately transferred to Georgia, and he decided to go to Penn State's rival, Ohio State. So he really gave me a double kick to the gonads there. But he's a 6'3", 228-pound junior here. He's a guy that has great size. He had excellent production at Ohio State then, threw for 3,200 yards in his 2019 season for 41 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. So excellent there. And then this past season, 2,100 yards for 22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And he got it also done on the ground then too. So rushed for almost 500 yards and then almost 400 yards with 10 touchdowns and 5 touchdowns respectively in 2019 and 2020. So I know we both like him, but you came in glowing about him. So I'll let you take the lead here. Tell me all the things you love about him.
So first of all, you have to be careful with Ohio State quarterbacks, because name one that's been a successful, you know, quarterback in the NFL. All right, the list is done. So that's the problem. That's the problem, that you get these guys that in that offense look good, and they put up stats, but when they get the NFL, they don't have that talent. Well, Justin Fields is not that guy. Justin, I have no idea how Georgia let this guy leave for Jake Fromm. Like, what in the heck? They could have been sitting on a national title or two right now. I went into this process thinking I wasn't going to like Fields all that much. I thought, you know, he just was going to have his stats inflated. I wasn't going to be as impressed with the arm talent. But oh my goodness. I have one of my, you know, the guys that I absolutely had to draft in a lot of my startups was Deshaun Watson. He's that kind of quarterback that I just love. I love a guy that has all the arm talent, has all the intangibles, and can also add that rushing ability. And he honest to God, looks like Deshaun Watson out there. I think he's modeled a lot of his game after him, because the way he goes to run, he has that quick twitch when he's in the pocket, and he's just, man, I love him. I'm going to let you take over here, because I got all kinds of good things to say. So you go right ahead.
Yeah. So he has great touch on the ball. He has one of the prettiest deep balls, and he's prettiest deep balls, excellent deep ball passer. Some of those throws just were spot on, absolutely beautiful. And he has the arm strength. He rarely underthrows guys. He's just everything you look for from arm talent in that regard. Footwork overall was okay. Then just still some room to improve there. He has a slightly longer release and was holding the ball long a little bit too long. But he has the footwork in the pocket to make guys miss with his athleticism alone. Then too. And that's a definite plus there. But like I said before, with Ellinger, I'm looking for guys that can rush. I'm looking for guys that can give me those extra points in fantasy. And he's an excellent runner. He has a nice assortment of moves then. And he also has some power then too. So he's necessarily not afraid to lower the shoulder. I think he's going to be doing that less in the NFL just based on how much bigger the guys are then too. But he's going to give you those extra points you're looking for. That's going to have the chance to vault him into like that top six category as far as fantasy quarterbacks then.
Yeah, let me say my positives, and then I want you to tell me where these negatives are.
Okay. So, well, to be honest, I like Fields is in that three or four range for me. So he's the top four guys I'd be very happy to draft. But I know you like him a little bit more. But I'll tell you what things I was concerned about in the tape then.
So I gave him glowing remarks for the mechanics, his footwork. I expected him to be sloppy, and he definitely was not. He has this quick, and it's very over-the-top release. He has a very sound lower half. It's very fluid, and it flows together. So he got great ratings there. His pocket presence, like you mentioned, he can run around all day, just like Deshaun. And his arm talent, his accuracy, if there weren't some throws, like 9 out of 10 throws were literally on the money, like as perfect as they could be. Honest to God, I told you I watched these games in order. I think I watched the first 3 games and saw 5 incompletions. It's crazy how good and accurate of a thrower that he is.
When he was on his Heisman pace. Yep.
His arm strength, he's got a real quick zip. I didn't expect him to be able to sling it like that. I mean, he doesn't have Trevor Lawrence arm strength, but he's got it. He can make any throw on the field. I thought his vision, he was doing a lot more than just that check down, that cross, that screen that you've seen all of these Dwayne Haskins quarterbacks at Ohio State do. He was throwing the football down the field. He was throwing posts. He was making reads. He was looking guys off. So I thought his vision was great. He placed the ball as good as anybody. He anticipated as good as anybody in this class. And he can see the finish of routes off the break, off the wide receiver breaks. I thought he was really good there. As good of a leader as you can get. And so pretty much every category, I was pretty high on him. The only knock that I had was he'll force the ball some, and he'll have some turnovers, and I don't mind that. Deshaun Watson does that too. And, he'll turn it over some. So I gave him a little bit of a knock for that.
Yeah. So we talked about this before. I can't agree with you more as far as his comp to Deshaun Watson. He is Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is he then. And if Deshaun Watson doesn't play in the NFL, Justin Fields will be the Deshaun Watson this year in 2021. Things I'm going to differ with you on here is his vision. So his vision, he goes through some progressions, but he only ever scans half the field. he never looks back to the other side of the field. So the offense is tailored just to keeping his vision pretty limited and just focusing him and allowing him to see one or two guys then. So he's got to improve on that, or he's got to develop that and refine that in the NFL going forward. So I knocked him on the vision a little bit then too.
I guess I see what you're saying there. But I felt like I didn't knock him at all on that, but because I felt like the offense was written that way. I feel like they have that. They don't intend every guy to have a chance to get the football. They intend to sort of limit the options.
Oh, I definitely agree that it seemed like the offense was tailored that way, but it's something that he's going to have to develop then going forward, because you're not going to they can shut down one side of the field very easily in the NFL, and you're going to have to be able to look to the other side then too, look for your third, fourth reads then too. So that's something that's going to need to develop. It's not necessarily a knock on him. It's more of something that's going to be installed in his repertoire then.
So many different receivers, tight ends, that I felt like he still used all of the field. Just like you said, he's kind of limited to half with each play. So I can see what you're saying there.
Yeah, and he's not a guy that necessarily throws guys open. He did throw a few times prior to the break of the receivers, but most of the time the guys were open. And at Ohio State, you're dealing with top-level athletes. You're dealing with these four or five-star recruits. They got the number one overall wide receiver in the class last year out of Pennsylvania. I don't know if you knew it, sort of down the road.
Yep.
And he should have went to Penn State too. Ohio State. But I digress. And that guy barely even played in his freshman year then. So it's one of those things that he's got excellent talent there at Ohio State. And is that more because he had guys open all the time? You can count them getting open. But in the NFL, you do have to throw guys open as well then too. So that's something I would need to see him work on there too. You said he had a quick release. I thought at times it was a slightly longer release then, and his footwork could have been a little bit better. They did a lot of shotgun snaps, then rarely under center, then something to work on there. And probably the biggest thing that worries me, and very, very comparable to Deshaun Watson, is he wants to make a play every single time with the ball.
Yep.
And he holds the ball way too long. I remember watching the game against Penn State then, and there were times where he held it. And then in Penn State game, he got it off just in time each time, but he holds it way too long, and it's going to be problematic in the NFL if he does that. So he's got to learn to either read the defense faster or have a faster internal clock and get that check down or take off running just with his athletic ability. But these are all things that can be corrected. They're not things that are, say, like Dwayne Haskins, where never really threw the ball downfield very effectively. He never really has limited athleticism. He has leadership skills were piss poor from all accounts in Washington. So I did not like Dwayne Haskins' film at all when he came out of Ohio State. But I actually really, really enjoyed watching Justin Fields. Like I said, he's in that 3-4 range here. I have one guy that's pretty comparable to him, what we'll be talking about later in this episode. And then I have two other guys that are a good ways ahead of him. One we'll talk about in this episode, and the other one we'll talk about in our second episode. But I like Justin Fields, and he is Deshaun Watson then. So I will feel very happy drafting him, because all these things can be corrected and refined then.
I love him holding the ball. Hold it all day, baby. You can't get me. I can stand back there. I can read it until you break down. And that's exactly what happened. He would run all over the place, just like Deshaun does right now. And he just hold the ball, run around. You couldn't bring him down. And
dude's going to get killed if he does that.
does Deshaun?
Yeah,
he doesn't.
He's going to get a toe in the eye like Deshaun.
Well, he might. But
and Deshaun has been sacked more than any other quarterback.
You know what?
Since he's been in the league.
Does it hurt you in fantasy? No.
If he gets injured.
Deshaun's
going to be like one of those old – he's going to be like Cam Newton when he turns 30.
Yep.
So I have Justin Fields listed as an 80 on my ranking here, my film score then. And Maybe a little bit harder grader. Scotty, what do you have on yours?
Yeah, he's a 93 for me. And I guess I'm a little softer grader than you, but even though I feel like I'm pretty hard on these guys, but I liked a lot.
Yeah, and like I said, all the things I knocked him for are correctable, and he's definitely a talent. He's going to be a top 10 pick easily. That's in the NFL draft, and definitely a top 3 pick in or top 4 pick in Superflex then in your dynasty drafts then. So let's move on from the great Justin Fields to Mr. Felipe Franks. So Felipe Franks out of Arkansas. He is a big dude, so 6'6", 228. Initially started out at Florida, eventually replaced by Kyle Trask then. And I did not like Felipe Franks then. He had a the stats weren't bad. He had 2,100 yards, 17 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions this past year at Arkansas then. But I was came out thoroughly underwhelmed then. I have him as my lowest rated. As far as Felipe Franks, he is my lowest rated player on the board here. He is at a 48. He's the definition of blah, meh. And I don't know if we need to get into Felipe Franks too much. I don't know how much you want to say what your thoughts are on him.
It's yeah, he's not my lowest guy for sure. He's the reason that Florida doesn't have a couple, you know, at least more SEC championships, because he just could not escalate that team at all. His, you know, he does things good and then he does things super bad. It doesn't help that he tore his ACL last year and then had to find a new home. So he ended up in Arkansas. But his throwing mechanics, especially, I'm not sure he's fully recovered from that ACL yet, because his legs look like little chicken legs out there, and they're just not involved in the throw at all. He's got a
Jacob Eason legs?
He's a little worse than Jacob Eason.
No one worse than Jacob Eason. Man, those things are sticks.
Well, between him and Zach Thomas, I don't know who has smaller legs, but anyway, he's a guy that he can't move in the pocket at all, and he cannot run. So that's out. So his relevance in fantasy is pretty minimal. But he's got a good arm. He's got good arm strength. He can throw the football down the field. He really improved his accuracy this year compared to when he was at Florida. If he had been that accurate while he was at Florida, he would have kept the job. He's pretty sound with the ball. He doesn't turn the ball over as much, which, again, was a big improvement this year, because at Florida, he struggled a lot. But I really only see this guy being a really good backup quarterback to have in your quarterback room, because he's got lots of experience. He knows how to read a defense. He knows how to go through his reads. So I had him at a 61, which is going to put him kind of in the back two tiers, but still yet a little bit higher than you had him there.
Yeah, I have a 48 then. That's easily my lowest score then. And I saw a guy with okay accuracy, but that accuracy is pretty much due to lots of screens, lots of short passes. Anything that went longer than 10 yards was pretty iffy then. And his arm strength, I did not see the arm strength that you were seeing there. I saw a lot of underthrown deep balls. He's a guy that rarely looked beyond his first read then. He had no anticipation. He had happy feet, a longer delivery, anxious in the pocket then. He's not going to scare you, but he plays hard. That's my one positive on him. So I'm not going to knock him for everything. But and his rushing ability, like I said, he's not going to offer you any rushing ability whatsoever. He's not a statue by any means as one of these other guys I'm going to mention here going forward. But he is he's average at best from that standpoint. And his decision-making average as well then too. So he's the definition of meh for me. So I'd be surprised if he gets drafted in the NFL draft
one. Yeah, he's not getting drafted. The other thing that I thought was the reason why he couldn't play at Florida is this dude can't throw a screen. He cannot throw these short throws. He would overthrow everybody or throw it at their feet. It was something. I know all too well that he has the arm strength to throw the football really far down the field, because I'm pretty sure he threw like this 75-plus bomb against Tennessee and in I think it's 2019, and they won on this Hail Mary. So yeah, he can sling it.
Yeah, well, at least I didn't see it consistently on film, but did you say they have some better arm strength than it showed on film just with that one throw? But I think I'm done with Felipe Franks here. I'm moving on. So let's move on to another sort of highly thought of prospect. Some people think he can go in the first round of the NFL draft here, and that's Mac Jones out of Alabama then. So Mac Jones, he is a, we'll say, 1.5 year starter in Alabama then. He comes in at 6'3", 214 pounds, took over for Tua when he got injured there in 2019. He threw for 1,500 yards in 11 games, probably less if we look at the mop-up time. And he threw 14 touchdowns for 3 interceptions, but he really took his game to a next level here in 2020, threw for 4,500 yards, and he had 41 TDs and only 4 interceptions then. So pretty spectacular numbers going forward, and was I think he finished third in the Heisman this year, so was definitely up there as well. So Mac Jones is one of those guys I was pretty excited to scout then. I thought I'd be impressed hearing a lot of good things about him from the NFL scouts out there. But he's one of those guys that I don't know if his skill set necessarily translate into productive fantasy numbers. We'll start with a positive. So very good accuracy then. So he was a 74% completion percentage there. He makes all the throws he has to as far as that goes. He can anticipate when some guys will get open, does throw the ball before the break at times then. His mechanics are actually pretty good when he has a clean pocket, but we'll talk about the negatives as far as that goes. Notice how I said clean pocket. He won a national championship, so he has to be at least a decent leader then. And he is a guy. He's a guy. He did what he had to do on an excellent team then. So he can sling the ball. He can get wins for your team, and he's a smart football player. I thought he protected the ball very well then, did what he needed to do in Alabama for that probably a top five team of all time at Alabama this past year. But I think it all comes down to, I see him more as almost like a game manager going forward. But tell me your positives for first before we go on to my necessarily me delving into the negatives.
So I put down like this general comment on every player that describes what they are. And here is, I quote, perfect game manager.
He is same page here.
Yeah. So he is exactly what you're looking for at Alabama with all that elite talent, because he can just be safe, which he is. He's very decisive. He knows where he's going each play. It almost looks like, and I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt, that he knows where the play's going, because it could be that they're drawing this up, that they're scripting these plays, and because he's very decisive. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt there. But he's a perfect game manager, and he led the best of the best, and won a national title. So I think from leadership standpoint, he's a guy that's got that. But and everybody gets mad at me when I take these like really bold stances on guys and whatever, but this guy is going to be the most disappointing prospect in this class. And okay, I did not expect to rate him this low. I'm kind of surprised that I didn't see more on the film, because that team was as good as maybe the best team of my lifetime. That was a loaded team.
So last year, Mac Jones, at the end of the season, was throwing to soon to be 4 first round picks at the wide receiver position.
You have unbelievable.
Jerry Jeudy, you have Henry Ruggs, you have Jalen Waddle, and you have Heisman winner Devontae Smith then. Guys are always open. Always open.
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
Only threw to guys that were open. And you could do that in this offense with this team, with this talent then. I rarely saw him scanning the whole field. He only looked at his primary read, and after that primary read, he checked it down to either a tight end or a running back or a wide receiver that was in the flat then. it was, and he was decisive with that. So he was quick and decisive. He made the decision fast, but it was pretty limited as far as that goes. And then his arm strength, it's slightly above average. He has to put a lot of effort in a lot of those deeper throws then too. He can get some of those there, but it's not a great arm talent by any means then. And he, I noticed I said before, he okay mechanics in a clean pocket, and he had great offensive linemen there in Alabama, and he rarely got pressured. But anytime he did get pressured, he had very, very happy feet, and he would throw the ball off balance at times then, and it looked ugly then. So he is scared under pressure then. That's going to scare people in the NFL as well. And actually, this is the only three I ever put on any player here, and that's his pocket presence, maneuverability. He is a statue. He is, I wrote it again here, actually. Any pressure equals badness. So, and he didn't have much pressure at all. Like, it was very few, far in between. You see a lot of these guys that get sacked a bunch of times then, but he rarely got touched there. But when he did get pressure, it was just badness. So he has to overcome that in the NFL as well. His ball placement was behind guys. He was through high. He threw it behind guys at times then too. And these are guys that are wide open then as well. And then he has the lowest rushing ability. He's the worst rushing quarterback in all the draft here, at least as far as the guys we scouted then. I put him as a four, and I wrote, could be lower. Never really saw a real run. But he tucked it and ran under pressure for 1 to 2 yards at times. So I am not a Mac Jones fan. I came away thoroughly underwhelmed. And I actually gave him a 60 here. So I had a few guys ahead of him. I think he's going to be helped a lot by his non-film score, just based on where he gets drafted then, because he's going to have a higher draft capital than a lot of these other guys. But I did not see it in the film. And you're never going to see me drafting Mac Jones shares.
Wow.
I can guarantee you that.
So before I break down, you know, all these things here, I'll tell you my score. My score is a 69. And I thought that was pretty low. So I feel like we both need to justify each of these little categories on, I'm going to tell, you know, what my thoughts are, and you just say what number you gave to. Okay. So, throwing mechanics, I liked he has a good over the top throw. His bottom half is good. But like you said, he makes these throws leaning back, especially under pressure. So I gave him an 8, because
it's a 5.
Yeah, so I didn't knock him as much because he made a lot of those throws sort of, you know, to get by a little extra time to get people open, because he can't really do that with his legs. So I didn't knock him too much. Maybe I need to knock him down to a 7 there.
But I think of the happy feet, and I anytime I saw that pressure, the mechanics went to hell in a handbasket. So
yeah,
that's why I bumped him, even though it was few and far between because he never got pressured much at all. But when I saw that pressure, the mechanics went out the window.
Yeah. Now, we do not talk about these prospects before this podcast. So here's exactly what I wrote down. He is a statue, but not much. He is a statue. Easy to take down if you get there. No resistance. And that's not going to cut it in the NFL. So he got a 6 for that. And you gave a what?
First pocket presence.
Yep.
This is the lowest score I've given anybody as a 3.
Okay.
So first statement, statue. Alabama offensive line was great, but any pressure equals badness.
Yep.
I love that equals badness part.
Yep. I thought his arm talent was average. Arm accuracy is slightly above average. Same thing there with arm strength, slightly above average. Every deep ball hangs up, and you'll see these superstar wide receivers. I mean, Devonta Smith could probably run down, touch the end zone, come back and catch it. And he kind of had to do that sometimes, whether he was outrunning, you know, the throw, or he just can't get it there. I'm not sure. But I thought that his arm strength was just slightly above average. Vision, like you said, he locks in on guys. It's like he even knows pre-snap where he's going, and they're open every time. So I kind of knocked him for that. I gave him a 6.
Yeah, vision I gave a 5, arm accuracy 8, and the arm strength 6, so probably comparable to what you had.
Yeah. Then, like you said, decisive decision maker, just does not turn the ball over, perfect game manager. I gave him a 9 for that.
Yeah, I actually gave him a 9 for that then too, because like I said, he does what he has to do for his decision making. He's a game manager, and he did everything they asked him to do for that Alabama team. What is decision making when he has to go more than one read? Maybe a significant issue though in the NFL.
Now, how much of this score that I'm going to give here is because people are so wide open? Because I thought the same thing of Tua. I said, man, this guy has the best anticipation I've ever seen. It's because they're wide open and you know they're open.
First round picks.
Yes.
Wide receiver.
So I gave him a 7. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Even though I wanted to knock him, I couldn't justify cutting the points down anymore. So yeah, he got a 7.
I didn't have anything on the film to disagree with that. So I gave him a 7, but it's honestly probably less than that as far as his true
probably,
anticipation.
Yeah.
But as far as he knew, he got it out quick. Those guys were open. He knew. I did see a guy that threw it before the guys got out of their breaks then too. So that's why I bumped it up as well.
Yeah, and then I had a 4 on rushing ability too. I said, Dude can't run or slide, LOL. He did try to make that one slide, and it was not natural. I was like, yeah, it's better to just go down.
Never saw a real run, but tackled and ran under but tucked and ran under pressure for 1 to 2 yards.
Yeah, so he got a 4 for me too. And then I gave an 8 for the leadership factor there.
Yeah, dude is a poor man's Matt Ryan.
that's great.
That's my comp.
I'm definitely putting that on her pro cons chart. So I feel like you're a little tough grader there on the throwing mechanics and the pocket presence. I think you're a little little hard there.
I was thoroughly unimpressed by what I saw then, or underwhelmed, I could say also. But I am not drafting Mac Jones. If I'm in a super flex league and he is a first round pick and he slides to me maybe later in the first round, early second, maybe I'll consider that.
What's the best case scenario? That's what I try to think of. What's the team that if he went to, you would be like, oh, should I pay attention to them? It's the New England Patriots. What if they drafted him in the first round? Would that make you turn your head a little bit? I think it would.
I think if they already signed Cam Newton to $14 million contract, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so if he learned the offense and wasn't thrown there right away and had some tutelage under Belichick and McDaniels, I think after a year or two, him starting playing, there may be some potential there. But if him thrown straight into the fire is going to be very bad. Very, very bad.
I would take a later round shot.
Good offense for him.
Yeah,
I think he's a smart guy. I think he can learn offense, and I think you need to be smart for New England. And they also got to get more receiving talent there in New England for him to succeed then too.
Yeah, I think this goes without saying for everybody, but the only way I'm drafting Mac Jones is if he has that perfect landing spot. Because if he doesn't, he has no, and I'm sorry if this is too bold, he has no chance in this league. So, sorry, that's how I see it.
And that's the biggest thing I worry about Alabama quarterbacks. It's sort of what you said from Ohio State quarterbacks, is they have some of the top talent in the league or in the college football, and it doesn't necessarily translate to the NFL. So it's the very risky prospects, and you're not even getting Jalen Hurts' rushing ability with this anymore. You're getting Mr. Statue here, and who's only used to throwing at wide open guys then too. So
yep,
it's going to be tough. But let's move on to our next prospect here. And a guy I loved is Trey Lance out of North Dakota State here. So 6'4", 225 pounds, so big dude. He really only had one season of starting, and that was in his, I think it was a sophomore year then. Threw for 2,786 yards for 28 touchdowns, and get this, 0 interceptions. 0.
Yep.
And he played one game in 2020 and actually threw a pick that game. So only had one interception his whole collegiate career. And then on the ground in 2019, rushed for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns. So I already said I love him. I'll let you take the lead here and tell us your thoughts before I tell you what I love this guy so much.
So when I started watching film. I thought Trey Lance was going to be, I was going to feel about him the way I feel about Justin Fields. And it was the opposite. So I like both of these guys. I love both these guys. Definitely someone I would absolutely draft, no questions asked, in the top two rounds. You may, if depending on landing and, spot.
And top four and super flex. I don't know what you feel about that. Absolutely. But I would put him top four.
One through four, done. But there's some things you have to know before you really start breaking down his ability. Number one, his 2020 team sucked. They were super bad. So there was no way he was going to play the full 2020 season. So after that first game, he was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm absolutely done. I'm not playing anymore. So that's what happened there. His 2019 team was better. And they actually, I mean, they won the championship, so I hope they were better. But they weren't. I don't think he has an NFL receiver on that roster. So you got to know that going in. But I thought Trey Lance looked like Cam Newton. He has the same sort of physical makeup. He has the same sort of rushing ability. He's a winner. He's got the arm strength, the intangibles. He's a better thrower than Cam Newton. And so I'm excited about him. Just not as excited as I am about Fields. I thought, from a mechanic standpoint, I gave him, pretty high scores here. He does drop the ball down to his waist some, but for the most part, he's got a very sound base. It's nice and fluid, and his upper body is pretty good. He has a good, a good release. And I'll let you kind of interject here, but, this arm strength, man, this dude has a cannon. And until I got to Trevor Lawrence, this dude can, when it comes out of his hand, it's so perfect. He throws the perfect spiral every time, and it is on a rope. So he's got the arm talent.
Yeah, I had him at, I put very strong arm. I gave him a 9 in that category. And you didn't necessarily always see it with the accuracy, but he was a guy that can make all the throws then. And he can make some very good throws. And the thing that I absolutely loved on him with his accuracy then too is he's a guy that could roll out and on the run, put it spot on the mark then too.
Yep.
It didn't always happen that way. His mechanics got a little bit flustered at times. He wasn't always doing the same thing. And you could see the ball sail at times then too. But it was... He could make all the throws then. It was a pleasure to watch then. And the thing I really liked about him, I really loved, is he ran a true pro-style offense there at North Dakota State then. He scanned the entire field then.
Yep.
It was top-notch. He's one of the top guys in the class here as far as at least showing that he can look the whole field then. And that's something he's going to have to do in the NFL as well. So I think he has a heads up on that as far as going forward here. And his anticipation, he knew when guys were going to get open. He threw them open. He threw them before breaks then too. Like I said, the accuracy wasn't always there, so he did miss a few guys. And I don't know if every one of these guys is running the right route at times then as well. But it was I was very impressed by his vision and anticipation then. And then his pocket presence. So he had excellent rush awareness then. He knew when to tuck the ball and run then too. He's a guy that actually ran the ball a ton in college then. And his rushing ability is, I would say, probably tops in this class then as far as it goes then. He's able to break tackles. He has speed. He has power. He even ran, I think at James Madison University, he ran the ball 30 times.
Yeah, he basically, they just ran the ball the whole game.
Yeah.
Now, I think he is a great runner. I gave him an 8 because he's very strong and physical. He's very downhill more than make you miss. But Justin Fields is tough cookie too, and he can make all kinds of people miss. So and it has more speed. So I think he's the best guy in the class rushing, but Lance isn't far behind.
Yeah, I put Fields at 9. I put Trey Lance as sort of the epitome at 10, just because I saw more mm-hmm. power. So he's a guy that's going to be able to get you those goal line opportunities, those under the 10-yard rushing touchdowns then, and he's going to get you more points. So that's why I gave him that little bump there. Probably their speed is going to be pretty comparable as far as that goes. The other funny thing, I don't know if you saw this in watching the games, there's times when I thought they were playing 7-on-7 football because he either outran guys or super fast, or there's a lot of guys out of position. I don't know if it's just the college football subdivision, just poor defense, but there were times I thought it was like 7-on-7 football and just how talented this guy was. And that's the only thing you look for in this college football subdivision. You want to see these guys absolutely dominate their competition. And that's what Trey Lance did here. And that's without having like these top flight receivers. His tight ends were more brawn than athletic then. And one guy reminded me of more of a bowling ball, and seeing people trying to tackle that guy was always fun after he caught the ball. But I enjoyed Trey Lance's film a lot then, and his decision making, that one interception, man, even if you're in the college football subdivision, one interception is still amazing. Absolutely amazing. Because
yep.
you gotta these guys can still catch. They're really good football players then. Obviously not all NFL caliber, but they're he's gonna throw more than one interception then. Even like the great quarterbacks in the college football subdivision then. So that was very impressive. The like I said, the biggest knocks on him was the accuracy. I think that's something that can be improved here. The ball placement can be a little bit better there. He can place it in tight. He does place it in tight windows, but there's other times when he sort of misses the throws then and doesn't put in the exact right position. And I think cleaning up the mechanics, and that's where I gave him his biggest knock, was in the mechanics and the ball placement then. And he needs to get his feet set more often. But this is why I have him comped to a player that came out of a sort of a smaller college as well then too. Was quite raw. Speaking of rawness, he played one game in 2020 here. So he's going to be very, very raw going forward then. And he's going to require, if they shove him in there week one, the NFL season, it's going to be bad. So I think he's going to need to come along slowly here with the team. So don't expect immediate production in year one from him, but probably more of that Patrick Mahomes year two. I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes by any means, but year two is going to be the more comparable measure. But as far as his comp, I think he's raw like Josh Allen was coming out of Wyoming then. They both ran the ball a lot. They both had not great wide receivers on the outside then. They had accuracy issues, but they have this arm talent that's top-notch here. And with a little right tutelage then, he should also work with Jordan Palmer then and go through his QB camp then. I'm very impressed with Trey Lance then, and so impressed that I am debating whether to put Trey Lance at number 3 or Justin Fields at number 3. I both have them scored at an 80 here, and I really like both these prospects. But I think, as far as vision wise, I think Trey Lance has that, but Justin Fields has more of the accuracy then. You got to weigh your pros and cons with each one of these guys, but either one is an excellent pick here, I think, for your fantasy teams.
Yeah, so I have Trey Lance at an 87, and then I had Fields at 93. So I really like Trey Lance. I would love for him to go to New England, learn behind Cam Newton, and become the next New England Patriot quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. That'd be great. But I thought, like I said, mechanics good, arm strength is good enough to knock you down like Michael Vick. You'll catch a pass from him and it'll pick you up off the ground. And you'd actually see that with some of the lesser caliber wide receivers. It would sort of pick them up and lay them on their back. Exaggerating a little bit there, but it was funny. His accuracy, so you have to not give him good remarks in accuracy, because look at his completion percentage. It's not great. Not at all. But I think it's downgraded because of the poor players that he had around him. Because there's a lot of times, and I had to start writing down, was that good ball placement? Was that at a place that the ball should have been caught? Because let's say you put him on another team with, really good wide receivers. those are balls that's going to be caught and going to be big plays, and his stats are going to be totally different. And so I tried to look at it like that, but I still knocked him on a, down to a 7 for accuracy. Like you said, vision, excellent. Goes through all of his progressions. He always seems to find the guy who has the best chance of being open, even if they can't catch it. His anticipation is good. I said meh, but I gave him a little bit above average. So I gave him a 7. But he puts the ball in favorable spots. And like you said, the rushing ability is top-notch. And dude is an absolute winner. He, wherever he goes, imagine if he had spent, if he had transferred after 2019 to one of these schools. Let's say he went to Auburn. He went to Arkansas. He went to Georgia. Man, would that guy have been a top, like top of the line, on the tip of everyone's tongue quarterback. So I like Trey Lance a lot. Just Justin Fields is another discussion.
Yeah. Like I said, tomato, tomato, as far as it goes, I have those guys ranked fairly evenly. I think I'm a, based on the scoring system here, I think I'm a more stingy grader as far as the overall score, but I think a lot of our comps are the same and our breakdowns are the same. And then you'll see, as far as my overall score here, our next guy. So we're moving on to the Mr. Cream of the Crop here, Mr. All-World, since he came out of high school here, even in high school. We're moving on to Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson here. So this is a dude, top quarterback prospect, pro-style quarterback prospect coming out. Went to Clemson. He's 6'6", 220. He was a starter for 3 years here. Replaced a guy that won a national championship.
Took his job in the first, 4 weeks or something? It seemed like it was
early.
It was
like the first week or two.
Jeez.
So each year he's thrown for over 3,000 yards, threw for 30 touchdowns, 36 touchdowns, 24 touchdowns, and 24 this year because he missed a few games because of COVID. And then 4 interceptions, 8 interceptions, 5 interceptions. And then he's also productive on the ground then too. So he was a guy that got you almost 200 yards, 563 yards in this past year, 203 yards, and multiple touchdowns on the ground as well. So can get it done in the passing game and in the rushing game. So I'll let you start off with Trevor Lawrence here. Tell us what you think. Anything bad? Probably not.
So
great everything.
I'm very critical of everyone. I look to take points away. I don't try to add points for a nice play. I look to find flaws. I try to be as strict as I possibly can. Somehow I'm not as strict as you, and I just don't know how that is. But Trevor Lawrence, last year we said Joe Burrow was the best quarterback prospect that we'd ever scouted. Now that's Trevor Lawrence. I'm telling you, this guy is as exciting as any player that I have ever scouted, especially at the quarterback position. He is the perfect NFL quarterback. He is as ready to be a superstar quarterback and NFL ready as anybody. Now, is he the best fantasy quarterback? That makes it tough because you've got to be elite if you're not a big time runner. All that being said, I did not expect this dude to go out there and be able to run. If he went out there and ran, like they had a lot of design runs and things like that for him, I think he could excel at it. He's pretty quick. He's sneaky fast, which really surprised me. I was sort of salivating out of the mouth when I saw that. But this guy does literally everything well. Other than knocking him for his rushing ability, and I think he's probably going to run a 4.8. I think he had his pro day. I haven't seen what if he ran or what that those numbers were, but I think he could run a 4.8. He's a long strider, and I think his speed is kind of going to sneak up on you. But other than that,
I think only a 4.8.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be that 4.65.
Dude, these quarterbacks can't run that fast. A 4'6 wide receiver is like a little slow. 4'6 running back's pretty darn good. And the only other thing I really knocked him on is he'll try to do too much sometimes, and he'll throw the ball, the other team. But overall, he's pretty studly. I thought, like I said, his pocket presence and his maneuverability was a 9 for me. It really surprised me how quick his feet were. But this guy was almost 10s down the board, and his throwing mechanics, his top half, his bottom half, it's as perfect as you can draw it up. His accuracy is the best I've ever seen. He is literally pinpoint accuracy. You can take games and you can't find a throw that wasn't exactly where it needed to be. He's amazing. He has a laser for an arm. He has a absolute cannon. His vision, he is Peyton Manning out there diagnosing defenses and processing. His processing speed is super good. He throws with the best anticipation of anyone I've scouted. That even includes Joe Burrow, who I thought had great anticipation last year. His ball placement is always where it needs to be to get yards after the catch. And when it comes to being a leader, this guy's it. There's few guys that when they go into the league, they're not only ready to be a good player, but they're ready to be a great teammate. They're ready to be able to lead an organization, and they're ready to take on anything. And thank God he's not going to be playing for the Jets. That guy's Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, there's few things I marked Trevor Lawrence or bumped him off on here. He's the highest score guy I have scored here. I have him scored as a 90, which is the highest score I've given any of these prospects on the quarterback side then. We didn't have a scoring system last year, so I can't really say what I gave to Burrow, but
yeah, 95 for me, 95 for Lawrence.
Yeah, things like had a complete 10 on main things you mentioned here. Excellent arm accuracy, 10. Pocket maneuverability, very. Well, actually, I gave him a 9 on that, but he throws well on the run. Then his leadership, poise, it factor, easily a 10. Then superstar. And then his ball placement is top of the class. I had it comparable to Joe Burrow. I loved the way Joe Burrow placed the ball last year then. So he's top of the line here. He's going to go number one in Superflex. He's going to be the top quarterback in every single draft, unless there's a true Ohio State homer out there or someone that Chris Sims going for his guy. But it's the only things that I knocked him off for just a little bit here. I saw him sort of like the offense, I think, was more that one side of the field type scanning as well then, too, where they don't necessarily always look back to the other side of the field. So he has to sort of develop that. But one side of the field, he sees it very, very well, rarely ever makes a bad throw, rarely throws it, rarely ever misses a guy in coverage that can pick the ball. But he saw that like maybe once or twice in many, many film sessions. But it's pretty amazing. And then the other thing is his footwork mechanics. Sort of like a lot of these guys you see, they're not used to pressure a lot because they have very good offensive lines. But sometimes when he's under pressure, he can throw off the back foot. And I think that's more of the times when he got into trouble. And a lot of the interceptions came with him having pressure and throwing off that back foot. But like I said, these are just minor things then. All can be corrected. He's my top prospect at the quarterback position. And I see him as an Andrew Luck, a guy that has excellent size, excellent intangibles, excellent everything then. And both him and Andrew Luck can have that sneaky athletic ability then where they can get out, get those rushing yards, get those rushing touchdowns then, which is going to be very, very beneficial to fantasy football rankings and fantasy football scoring in your dynasty leagues going forward here. So Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Sunshine Lawrence, go all in on him.
Totally agree.
So that's our first episode here. We have 8 other quarterbacks to delve into. We'll be delving into those here in the next episode. But hopefully it gave you a lot of good information on these guys. If you have any arguments, disagreements, want to throw your comments out there, hit us up on Twitter at the DYN interview. Check out, make your own assessments then too. Check out our film room. We have all the quarterback film for all these guys up on our website and on YouTube then. Scotty's working hard on the other ones. We had a major malfunction with his hard drive.
Major.
So we're a little bit later on the other films as far as the running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers. But hopefully we'll have those come up here shortly. And then I think I just finished another article here on the running back position. So running back buys. So check that out too on the website as well at the dynastyinterview.com.
Yeah, you know, just word of advice, back up everything you have and don't ever drop your hard drive because they like to not work. But we've recovered here. It's taken a little bit, but we're going to be getting this, you know, more stuff up here. And when we put this quarterback show up, all the quarterback stuff will be linked up on the website. And I think we'll be working on the running backs next, and then we'll circle back around to the tight ends. I know we had planned to do those, but now that all that's kind of gone, sad face, but we'll get it back.
Yep. Yeah. So that's all we have for you this episode, but check out our next episode too, breaking down the other quarterbacks. I know some big names in there. A lot of people like Kellen Mond then. Jamie Newman's been a hot name out there then too. Kyle Trask. And we'll also be talking about Zach Wilson then as well. So check out the next episode and then check out all our episodes here at thedynastyinterview.com. We'll be delving into the running backs. I think running backs will be doing after the quarterbacks here. So that should be fun then. Okay. Well, this is Joseph Adrian signing off.
And this is Scott Martin. And you just listened to the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast.